From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And we have Larry Larson in our live studio audience today. We don't have him as much. Oh, you can hear him clapping. Yeah. It's just like on Cheers.
Yeah.
So we're kind of in a small office this week because they're remodeling the main studio.
Yeah, and we saw three's a bit too much to cram in front of the screen.
So Larry's here, never fear. But what are we going to talk about today?
So 3 episodes ago, we went through application crashes for store apps. And today, we're going to talk about application hangs in store crashes in store apps, which actually is a higher number than from our telemetry than crashes. Why? Well, things hang over and over again, so we get reports over and over again. So crashes are more deterministic and actually more important to fix, but hangs is what we're talking about today. So how do you know your app's even got hangs? On the quality page of the store dev portal, there's these graphs. And one of them is JavaScript exceptions, one is crashes, and then the bottom one is hangs, and I've zoomed in here a bit. And so you can get your current hang rate. You'll see that the name is application_hang_were_API. Windows error reporting is the person snapping the hang.
Right.
From a user point of view, they're kind of not really aware that this is happening. Everything's done in the background. We just say, hey, this is not very responsive, and we take a dump file of you.
Now, so they see the hang, right? But you're saying they don't necessarily see the impact of us collecting this dump.
Yeah, and so you, I mean, if they're tech savvy, they may, where's my, I actually have a Windows error reporting where fault pause right here to show what they would see. So if they went and looked for this, they would see that these were faults are kicking in the background. Because we're taking a dump, and in 8.1, there's a new thing called PSS, which is process snapshotting. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like procdump's reflection support back in Windows 7, where we kind of clone the process. Completely different way of implementing it. And were fault uses this new API so that it pauses it in time. It's kind of like VSS, volume shadow copy.
Copy on write copy kind on, of a thing.
Yeah. Makes the dump file in the background and then continues on straight away. So it's instantaneous, like sub-millisecond pause. Sometimes the hang is then followed up with a termination, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Or sometimes we just continue on. You know, you can get hangs for lots of reasons. Starvation is a good example. So, you know, if you just don't get enough CPU power, it's going to look hung and you're going to get a report. And so you'll get different styles on this web page, particularly the one that we care about and the one that we know is the most predominant of a hang types is a thing called background tasks. And background tasks are kind of the workhorse of a store app. So if you want to, for example, wake up, have an alarm on the screen that at 6 p.m. tonight, set an alarm off and do a toast. Well, you don't want the store app to be running to achieve that, and so you can register like a time background task to achieve that. And there's a whole lot of criteria that you can use. There's like changing of the time zone, uninstalling my app. So you can say, well, if the app's about to be uninstalled, run these cleanup things in your background tasks. Mm. You can do, this is how things like Skype and Facebook do their stuff. They monitor Facebook feeds and Skype feed,
right,
and then give you the toast. And actually, a background task is the only way of getting something on your lock screen. So you have to have a background task ability to do that.
Is this for updating of live tiles too, or is that
that's
a different thing?
Yeah. Well, that's Windows Notification Services, which is slightly different. You could do it through a background task if you wanted, in theory. Background tasks are very low compute, though. You only get, I think it's like 5 seconds of compute every 15 minutes or an hour. So it's a very small amount. And you also only get, I think it's in the Ks, not the megs or even the gigs, of network bandwidth. You're not allowed to use much. So it's a very low impact. And because background tasks are allowed to run while the system's asleep, right? Mm. And that's actually one of the big differences between 8.0 and 8.1 is we canceled background tasks that weren't behaving only doing connected standby. Now in 8.1, we'll also do it when it's live, as in when you're interactively logged in. So that's also increased the report rate.
Mm.
So look at your reports. If you have something, download the CAP file and have a look. So how do you know whether you've got one of these things? So this is a one of those dumps.
This is one of the dumps. Now, was this from a hang dump or a crash dump?
Yeah, and so that's one of the hard things you have to understand. It's very hard to look at. If I just go deep, for example, and say spit out all the threads, you're just going to see roughly everybody waiting. Well, it could have been a crash dump, and it's not obvious why it's crashing. Particularly with what we're talking about a couple of weeks ago is all this stow exception deferral stuff. You don't really see an obvious crash. The way to do it is to look at the exception code, and the way you do that is ECXR minus one, and DFFFFFFFF, whatever it is the magic number. From a user point of view, if you just want to know personally where you're having an issue, you can use the event viewer and look at your event log. Now, I haven't got any application hangs, but I do have an application error. And so you'll get an application hang line from Windows Error Reporting. And so if you see those, you know that you've got these happening in the background, and then you send it to Microsoft.
And does it tell you here what the defaulting application was?
Yeah, the problem is background tasks always run in a host. And so it's always background task host.exe. So it doesn't really help you really
doesn't
that much.
Doesn't narrow it down, huh?
No. So from a personal point of view, you'll find that your development apps don't get reported because we exclude them from Windows Error Reporting. So it's only your ones that are signed and gone through the store that will get this reporting. So if you're going through your development process and going, hey, I've got nothing reported, that's cool. Well, you actually don't really know from that point of view. So what does one of these apps look like, and how's it kind of work? So I've got the example of this from the Windows SDK. And we'll put a link in the show notes of where to download all the code. Just look for Windows 8.1 sample apps is the keyword in Bing. So what you do with a background task program is you have a foreground program that registers the task. And the task is kind of like a scheduled task. It just happens to be invoked by a different subsystem. And so for this example, I'm just going to use the top one and keep it simple. It says, run some code when the time zone changes. And all of the criteria are very like that. They're not like interactive type things. They're all slow stuff. The timer you can set has a minimum of 15 minutes. So you can't go and say, make me wake up every second or every minute. It's 15 minutes is the minimum.
Which seems like we want to kind of limit that to prevent apps from using too much battery life.
Exactly.
And things like that.
That's exactly the point. And like you can't, and I said with the network side of things, you're not allowed to download a lot of networks. So you shouldn't be using this to say, hey, schedule a task to download this massive file off the internet. So now if you, what this has happened is the foreground application's run, and if I want, I could close this app. It's got nothing to do with the execution of it. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave it up because, dock it sideways. What I'm going to do is I'll bring up Task Manager so we can see what's happening in the background. And this background task is the engine that's, you'll see in a second. There's a background task host. You always see background task, but you're looking for background task host. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to change the time zone. So this is going to like fire an event equivalent, and it's like running the scheduled task, the time zone changing. And what this, Arizona. What this does is it starts the background task. Now, as I said, the foreground task doesn't have to exist. It can completely disappear, and that's the whole point. But what we do have is a progress event. So the OS is going to trigger this event that runs the task, and then in the task, we're going to fire a progress event that the foreground app has subscribed to. And the only information going across is a number. That's all you can pass. You can't pass a string or anything. It's purely a number. And so what's going to happen is when I press OK, it's going to fire the background task. And you can see this background task host.exe up here now is now running. Mm-hmm. That's it running in the background. The background task has got a timer that every second fired this event within itself.
Okay.
And it's incrementing a number up to 100%.
Right.
For every number it increments, it sets the progress number to whatever percent we're up to, and that causes the event to fire over here. If I close this, it makes no difference. It's still running. You'll still see that the background task host is running.
Okay.
So if I bring up that tool again, it should. We've actually got code that in the sample that when I close that, it kills the background task. It's one of the controlling things it's got.
Oh, okay.
So that program registers the requirement to fire on this event. It starts this process over here. It happens to have the progress feedback that goes back over here. So if I use the example of it working, as you can see, it's progressing. Now, if I unregister, that's one of the reasons to stop the background task. And you'll see that it's on 10%. I'll press it when it hits 10%. And then immediately, you'll see that the number didn't go up. Background task host over here disappears straight away. And everything's clean. If you behave like this, you will not get dump files. So what do people do wrong? What's the one thing that, or two things actually, that we've noticed that people are making a mistake on?
So everything here is the right way to do it.
Absolutely right. And this is the SDK unchanged. Actually, I changed it. It goes up by 10% on there. I changed it to 1%, so it's not as fast. And you can get this code down yourself and do the same experiment. So what happens is you get two projects. You get the UI one, which is this top one, and you get the background task, which is the bottom one. Mm-hmm. In here, when I press that register button, we make a register of the event. It says, here's the assembly, all that type of stuff. And the in this case, we're using the time zone change event to trigger the background task. And then just as a UI niceness, this attach function, which is our function, just sets up the completed and the progress event handler so we get that periodic update. Mm-hmm. So from a UI point of view, the UI side of the point of view, it's not that hard. There's nothing you can really do to screw it up. Mm-hmm. All the problems are in the background task itself. So on the other side, this run function is kind of like an event handler. This is what's receiving the time zone changed event. And you run, because of this is like the main, if you want to call it, the console app or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so this is the instance of the background task that you're doing work for. And then what we do in this guy is we set up the cancel handler, keep a reference to the objects passed to us, and then set up a periodic timer that's at every 1 second, do a callback. Mm-hmm. We'll jump over the cancel handler, and then down the bottom, we get the callback, add one to our local member, and then set the tasking instance progress. That by setting it fires the event that optionally the GUI program can receive. So the bug that the people are doing out there, and all the analysis we've done at Microsoft of the telemetry tells us that people are not setting the cancel handler. Right?
I see.
They're missing it.
They're now, forgetting it.
Some of it's more to do with the way we documented this. 8.0 didn't really say it was mandatory, and it's not really mandatory, but you have to shut down quickly. And so if you have a background task that takes more than 5 seconds to shut down at any period of time, mm-hmm. then it's considered to be hung, right? Either a cancel or the omission of cancel. So what I mean by that is if we call cancel on you, you have 5 seconds to shut down. If you don't have a cancellation handler and we want you down within 5 seconds, you better do your task within 5 seconds. So like, you can count up to 3 seconds, but you can't count up to 10 seconds.
Right? So if you were maybe confident that whatever your background task was never takes more than 5 seconds to complete,
you don't
need a cancel handler.
And you still don't in 8.1. The reason why it's more important is that we now on a quiet time a lot more. And so when the computer goes into quiet time, which is through the night, we stop executing background tasks. That way you don't get toasts that go ding in the middle of the night.
Right.
Right? Or things that will cause feedback. The other thing we do is we, from a telemetry point of view, we used to only background task hang you when we're on connected standby. We now do it also when you log in 8.1 because we wanted more information about this. Now you go, well, I know I can get my stuff done in 1 second, right? Why should I bother? Well, the other thing that we're seeing is that, have seen a bit, is starvation.
Yeah.
So if your machine gets into a peg state and CPU and disk, well, your background task may not just have the time to page in the assembly that you need.
Right.
And so even if you know computationally it should be minuscule, it's still wise to do it. So why do you have a cancel handler? Roughly what it does is it comes in and you, all you do is set some personal flag. You don't do the work in the cancel handler because it's a separate thread that's going to come in. Set a flag and say, in my work, which is down here, cancel everything. So for this example from the SDK, if while we're not canceled, we're just going to do this progress thing. But if we are canceled, what we're going to do is we're going to cancel the periodic timer. So that might be if you're doing, well, you shouldn't be doing too many of these, but if you're doing a web call, cancel the web call. If you were reading from the disk, stop the disk request. All these things that could time out. So particularly with starvation situations with disk, you might have an IO call that you know that riskily you should be able to load pretty fast.
Right.
You can cancel the IO call. And so it's not only have you done the event, registered for the on-cancel event, it's whether you also then are actioning based on being in that state, which means start canceling all of the pendable objects that you've got. And then once you have done that, this happens just to spew out a lot of debug spew. So let's run this thing without the cancel handler, and we'll see what happens.
Commented it out.
So we're gonna, I'll run it side by side, because otherwise we don't really see what's going on very well. We've got our, in the background, task manager. Notice that we'll get the host. So we'll register it, fire the event. You might be asking, why am I using time zone? Well, nearly every single event is really hard to actually reproduce.
this one's easy to just do on.
Yeah, one of them's like internet available. I don't really want to be pulling in and out network cables and things are, yeah, so stuff like that. And entering quiet time, I don't want us to enter quiet time, that's once a day. Setting a timer, it's 15 minutes away. So that's, a time zone is about the only one that's like now. Mm. So I'll set the time zone. You'll see over here that the task host got created. And over here, we are progressing at 1% per second. Mm-hmm. Now, what I'm going to do is, when it says 15, I'm going to press unregister. And then what it should do is run that cancel and finish. But you'll see it's still going. And you'll notice over here at 20 seconds, pop.
Oh, five seconds later.
That's the five-second timeout. And so at that point, just before we killed the process, we would have got a Windows error reporting where fault would have kicked in, paused the process, done a snapshot of it, and then once the snapshot's finished, we then terminate the process.
And we don't see that here because this is a development app.
Yeah, so if it's got a development license on it, it doesn't kick in where fault because we don't want to waste our telemetry on it. Mm. So that is what's happening out in the real world a lot. And so it comes down to a simple, make sure you've got a cancellation handler, as we said before. Now, the other thing that, the other thing that can go on is right down, we hold a reference to the task instance. Now, this only affects Java apps, and unfortunately the SDK examples don't actually include a background task written in Java, but you can do it. And so instead of that background task host.exe, you'll have WWA host.exe doing the work. And then way down here at the bottom, you'll notice that we do a complete. And now, if you miss the complete, so roughly the dereference of the object in C#, it doesn't actually matter. We are able to still to tear down the process and stuff like that. In WWA host with JavaScript, it does matter. Mm. And so what we find is that all these functions all return and the run returns, and what you get left with is the WWA host shell. And all it does is sit there waiting for the Java script objects to dereference to zero. Mm. And so if you miss the complete keyword on your JavaScript object, which looks roughly the same as this, you will end up with this WWA host that is completely empty, but still giving you a report. So you did all the right things, you wrote a cancel handler, you executed it out timely, but then this shell sits there, and then we go, well, the process is still running, it shouldn't exist.
And then, we get the report again. Okay.
So, yeah, that's really all it comes down to. Write your complete in both scenarios, but particularly in JavaScript, because it really matters. And make sure that you've followed the SDK example. The SDK has this code in it. So just make sure that everything you see in the example is repeated in your own program.
Right. And this, if everybody follows this, then we should see a lot fewer hang reports.
Yeah, and particularly for the smaller machines with the slower disks and stuff, you won't get, it's a compound effect, right? So if someone's writing a report, well, that will cause a disk thrash, which could cause another program to do it and repeat.
I think like what you said earlier about not necessarily, you may think that what you can run will execute within 5 seconds, but you have to think about all the wide variety of hardware that you're going to be running on.
Yeah.
You may be on some, you know, desktop machine, but maybe it's really thrashed. Somebody's doing a lot of heavy disk or CPU.
Yeah.
Maybe you're running on a really low power, you know, tablet or something like that, that maybe things get paged out. It takes 5 seconds to page things in, slow disks.
And that's enough, bang, you're out.
Right.
And particularly these really low machines, like, you know, with the 2 gig of RAM or even 1 gig of RAM, if they ever come out, those things don't have much file cache, right? They can't.
Right.
And these programs, I mean, C-sharp programs aren't small. They're in the, you know, good number of Ks and megs.
Yeah.
It does take a bit to page in that many.
Yes. Yeah. And if you're under memory pressure, you're going to see more of that.
Yeah. So that's the show for this week.
Yeah.
Get your apps fixed.
And what's the email address? defragtools@microsoft.com. Is that right?
Yep.
If you have any questions, we'll be happy to answer them.
See you next week.